pastor of the chapel about a new program that's going to begin tonight at 8 o'clock on both WJMX AM and FM, so stay tuned. Today, I would like for you to meet Mr. Fred Cozen, who is a relatively new Florentine, moved here in November last year, and Fred is pastor at the chapel on Second Loop Road here in Florence. And Fred, there is Mrs. Cozen?
Yes, there is, Jenny.
And there are some little Cozens?
There are three of them, three boys. Wesley is four, Daniel is three, and Roy is one and a half.
And when was the decision made that brought you to Florence to minister the Word of God?
I suppose the actual decision was made not much before we came here, probably in October, although we've been thinking about it for about pretty close to a year.
You had been here in Florence, I know, at least once several months before you actually came, huh?
Yes, I was here in March of last year, about a year ago, on two occasions in March, and then I came back for the month of June in 67.
And you were living where at the time?
I was living in Orlando, Florida.
And ministering there?
Yes, that's right.
You are the son of a missionary, I understand.
My father is presently a missionary, yes.
Where?
In Fort Washakie, Wyoming, which is just below Yellowstone National Park.
And what sort of mission work is he carrying on out there?
He's working among the American Indians, the Shoshone and Arapahoes, who are living on the Wind River Reservation there in the middle of Wyoming.
I see. Okay, I'll get back to that momentarily. Right now, Fred, I'd like to mention the fact that you will be the, what's the proper word, moderator?
Moderator, I guess, would be the best word, Bob.
Of a new program to be heard for the first time on WJMX AM and FM tonight, beginning when?
8 o'clock.
And what do you call this?
The Bible Answers.
And this is sort of a first, as far as type of program is concerned, to our station, and in what respect do I speak?
Well, I think this is the first time that the listeners have had the opportunity to call in on the phone and talk to someone on the radio and be heard themselves on the radio. They've always had to take what they get from the station. Now they'll be able to offer what they would like. If I could say it so bluntly.
I don't know whether I like the way you said that or not. But I understand what you mean, Fred. Now, the Bible Answers, and so you will be talking to individuals about problems or questions that have been raised in their minds from something they've read in the Scriptures or don't understand, I suppose?
Yes. Many, many questions, I think, arise in people's minds if they read the Bible objectively and are willing to try to understand it. Questions which they don't understand, problems which face them as individuals, things which affect their daily life, whether they don't know, whether they should apply it to their life or not. And I think that if we are willing to discuss the Bible together, we can come to a solution and find that the Bible is very relevant for today.
Why did you become a minister?
Well, I felt the greatest need in the world today is for men's lives to be shaped, and ultimately that their lives will become conformed to the image of Christ. I suppose that if I wasn't in this business, I could be making money somewhere else, but I feel that things of eternal value are far more important than material things today.
I often think of the little rhyme that goes, "Only one life 'twill soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last." And the older I get, the more often I find myself thinking of the truth of that verse.
There's no question about that, Bob. I think that we can actually believe that we're living in the last days, that it won't be but a very, very short time until the Lord comes and the world actually comes to an end as far as world government is concerned. And I think that we need to use the time as wisely as possible to bring men to a knowledge of Christ and help them to understand that the Bible is the answer to men's problems.
Where did you get the idea for such a program as this?
This type of a program is very, very popular out in California. I spent about 4 years in California in the service and selling shoes. And there are many, many programs of this type with people discussing every problem under the sun, from politics to sex to the Bible to any subject that wants to be discussed. And I felt that if we could have a program which was entirely given over to the study or concerned with the Bible, it would be far more relevant than just a discussion of any topic which people were interested in.
You don't think the Bible is antiquated?
Not at all. I think that it's the most up-to-date book we have.
Now, would people be prone, we'll say, from your viewpoint, to find the answers to some problems, to basic problems, or to what kind of problems that they run into?
Well, I think most of the problems which people face can be answered in some way or another from the Bible. I don't profess to have all of the answers, but I think the Bible does. And I think that if we are, again, willing to accept what the Bible has to say and believe that it is the inspired Word of God and that God has preserved it for our good, for our instruction, for our reproof, we'll be able to live lives which are far more acceptable both to God and more useful to our fellow man.
Okay. All right, that's 8 o'clock tonight. The first in a series of programs on WJMX, AM, and FM with Mr. Fred Cozen. And Fred, a little bit about you now. Life began where?
I was born in around Wheaton, Illinois, 1938.
I didn't say when, I just said where. It's all right.
I'm just...
Usually this is a question, you know, that people want me to steer away from, so I was being very careful.
I don't mind, Bob. I'm just still a child, I guess.
Yeah. And Wheaton, Illinois, that's the Midwest. And didn't you work when? After you graduated from high school for Good News Publishers or something?
While I was going to Bible school, I worked at Good News Publishers, working as an offset pressman there.
Bible school where?
I went to Emmaus Bible School in Oak Park, Illinois, graduated there.
And a former Florentine, WF, better known as Bill Anderson, is an instructor there now.
Yes, he is an instructor at Emmaus now.
Was he an instructor at the time you were there?
He was only a visiting instructor. He came on one occasion, I think, and taught the Gospel of Mark.
Did you, by any chance, take the Gospel of Mark at that time?
I was under his instruction, yes.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
We enjoyed him very much as a teacher, and we are very happy to know that he's back at Emmaus and teaching full-time.
After having taken a little time off to what, get his doctorate degree or something?
No, he's working toward his master's, but I don't think he has finished his study. He's going to Trinity, I think, presently.
Let's go back to your father. You say he's missionary to what tribes of Indians?
Shoshone and Arapaho.
Do they speak any English?
They speak some English, but they far prefer to communicate among themselves in their own language, which is, of course, Shoshone.
Is this a written language?
No, it is not. And my dad is, at the present time, engaged in learning this language and writing it down, which is a very difficult thing to do, because he has never known the language. There is no way of reading it. And he has to hold up an item, maybe a spoon, and ask the Indian what this particular item is. And then the Indian will tell him, in Shoshone, what the item is. And if it's a spoon, he'll grunt out some sound. And my dad will have to write it down phonetically, which means that every sound, in no matter which word it is always written the same way. In English, English is not written phonetically. I think there's about 11 different ways of writing O-U-G-H. Well, if you wrote the language phonetically, O-U-G-H would always be written the same way, would always be pronounced the same way. This makes it very easy, after the language has been written, for the Indian to learn to read it, because every sound will always be the same and never changes, and they can learn to read their own language, which they have been speaking, in a period of maybe 6 to 8 weeks.
What's the ultimate purpose in doing this kind of work? Is he trying to, make the Indians literate? Or is he trying to help us to understand the Indians, or what's the purpose?
His primary purpose is to learn the language, translate the Bible into their language, and therefore give them the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They have never had a missionary there who has been interested in them and their language, and they're a little bit skeptical of him, and it takes a great deal of time to get the Indians' confidence. But I believe he has done this. I just came away from there about a month ago, and we had some good conversations with the Indians, and my dad quoted some of the verses which he had learned and translated in their language to the Indian, and the Indian, of course, understood.
Now, just any individual couldn't go out there and start to do the work that your father is doing. Obviously, he's had some training somewhere.
Yes, he's had a lot of language training to start with. I think he took 7 years of Greek and 3 years of Hebrew, which gave him a basis for language work. And then he studied at Wheaton College linguistics and took phonetics, phonemics, morphology at Wheaton, and also at the Summer Institute of Linguistics, which is a Wycliffe school. And he has been teaching there at Wycliffe for about 6 or 8 summers, I guess, since that time. It's a very tedious job and takes a great deal of time. The average time which it would take to begin with nothing and end up with a New Testament translated in the language of the Indian is approximately 20 years.
And he intends to see it through.
The Lord allows him to live that long.
You know, it's amazing to me, Fred, that there are still languages in the United States of America that have never been committed to writing.
Yes, there are 5 others besides this. I think the Indians in Florida and also in New York, and there are several other Indians out in the West Coast which have never had a portion, not a word of the gospel in their own language because they have no written language.
Mm-hmm. All right, back to you. You said you spent some time in California. Actually, you were born in Wheaton. You were educated there?
I was educated in Wheaton, yes. And from there, I went to Oak Park for a while and met my wife in school. We moved to New Jersey, and as soon as we got back from our honeymoon, I was drafted into the Army. And
happy honeymoon.
Funny thing was, they asked me what I wanted to be. What I wanted to do in the service, and I said, well, I guess the best thing to do would be to be a chaplain's assistant, because that was what I was interested in. So they put me in the military police, which is like the Army. But beyond that, I thought, well, they came to ask me where I wanted to be placed. Where did I want to serve my time? And I thought, well, we wanted to go to New Jersey, so I'll ask for California, and they're sure to give us New Jersey. So we asked for California, and you can guess what happened.
They sent you to California.
Right.
For 4 years, you said?
Well, for 2 years, and then I stayed on there in the shoe business.
Now, you came to us from Florida. How'd we get from California to Florida?
Well, I was in the midst of taking a job as the manager of a large shoe company in Reno, Nevada, and I felt that this was a time which I would make a decision either to go into the ministry of preaching and teaching the Word of God or else go ahead and do a good job in business. And I felt that if my real interest lay in teaching the Word of God, I should make the decision at that time. There was an opening, a number of openings in Florida for this type of ministry, and so we packed all of our possessions in a rented truck, and my wife and 2 boys at that time, into the truck itself, and we traveled cross-country.
There are pastors, there are evangelists, 2 of the main offices, I guess, of the New Testament Church. Which do you classify yourself as?
Well, I think that the book of Ephesians teaches that we have a pastor-teacher individual, and I think probably this is where I come closest to.
In other words, you enjoy, we'll say, sitting down and staying a while with people and living with them and nurturing them much as what? A mother would nurture a child, I presume?
Yes, as a shepherd would take care of his sheep.
And this that you begin tonight, I presume you take as a part of that total ministry.
Yes, I suppose you could call it a radio pastor, Bob. I don't know. We are very, very much interested in people. I'm not out to get people, but we're anxious to answer people's questions and feed people in the spiritual realm of their life.
Looking back in my own experience, some of the most tumultuous years I have known is when, well, of course, I was outside of Christ before my conversion, but questions that mattered very much to me one way or another. I couldn't get a satisfactory answer for as many people as I asked, no matter who they were. I got ultimately just as many answers, which is very frustrating.
That's right, Bob. I think that we've got to go back to the Word of God. I think we have got to make statements and answers to questions which will meet people's problems and questions. I know one question which has plagued young people ever since they were young people, and that is, how can I know the will of God for my life? And I think that we've got to refrain from answering this question in terms which don't mean anything to the young people and give an answer to it.
How do you best study your Bible on a daily basis?
Well, I think that it needs to be a consecutive, continual study on a particular subject or a particular chapter. I, at the present time, am going through the book of Ephesians and the epistle of John, and I endeavor to, first of all, try and find out for myself what I think the passage means. I believe that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to teach us and to help us to understand the Bible. And there are no doubt questions which come to my mind, as everybody's mind, and God has given to us great men of the past who have written books on subjects and commentaries on books of the Bible, and these, of course, are a big help in answering these questions.
And you say you're what now? Ephesians and what else?
1 John.
And you're studying what? These for yourself primarily, and then you're ministering on them also?
Yes, I'm ministering on them also. I feel if I do not apply them to my own life, there's no sense in my ministering them. Anybody can get up and talk about a subject, but unless it means something to our own life, it's of no value to tell somebody else how to live unless we're trying to live it ourselves.
You know, one of the things that I am continually impressed with, Fred, look in the world anywhere you want to, in our day or in time past, and those men who have made their mark for God in one way or another have 99.44% of the time come from a God-fearing home.
This is true. I think this is very, very true. And I think you can look at the top of most even religious organizations and find that these men were born and reared in a family where God was honored. And I don't think we can underestimate the value of the Christian home, of the home where a regular Bible study is done, a family altar, if you like. I think if we leave this out of the family life, we're actually subtracting from the family that we have. We're removing from the home that stabilizing influence which God is anxious to have there.
And crippling the lives of those whom we're supposed to love most.
No question about it. We might also term it delinquent parents who have failed to raise their children in relation to the Word of God. Certainly the child who has no understanding of God has a great lack in his life.
So may I correctly presume, therefore, that the program that you will begin tonight would be designed also to help interested and concerned parents?
Yes, no question about it. I think that basically our problem as a nation goes to our parents. As the parents which are raising our children, these children are going to be our governors, our presidents. They're going to be ruling our country in a day and age to come. And we as parents are responsible to God and to them for the way that we rear them.
I remember Psalm 119, I think it's verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? The question, the answer is immediately given by guarding it according to thy word. All right, the time of our new program tonight again, Fred?
8 p.m.
We call it
The Bible Answers.
And Fred Cozen of the chapel here in Florence will be moderating that program. We invite you to listen. And Monday nights regularly from 8 until 8:30.
Phone number, Bob?
Yes, phone number 669-6351. And this will be a program again where the listener will be able to hear both sides of the telephone conversation. And, of course, interested individuals are asked now to be thinking about something you'd like to discuss with Mr. Cozen and call him tonight, Monday night, or a succeeding Monday night. Fred, God's continued richest blessing upon you in your ministry at the chapel and in this new ministry. We'll be praying for you.
Thank you, Bob. Certainly enjoyed being with you today.
Fred Cozen on Music for the Heart.